This is the 29th of May, 1976, and Gerda and I are interviewing in the Junction City area. What is your name?
Petra Jensen.
And you are an immigrant.
I am an immigrant.
Would you please tell us where you came from in Denmark and approximately the time you came here?
I came from the west coast, from Vim, little town named Vim. And that's where I was born, the 31st of May, 1884.
1884.
Yeah.
And when did you come to the United States?
I came 1900, last in February. Came on an old cattle boat. I think it was.
We'll come back to the old cattle boat in just a moment.
Okay.
But would you tell me your mother's maiden name?
Her name was Jefferson.
And her first name?
Katrina.
Katrina Jefferson.
Jefferson.
And was she born in them?
Pretty close to them. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the date of her birth?
No, I don't know my mother. Just one of those things.
Yeah. What was your father's name?
Christian Sand.
And do you know where he was born?
He was born right around Vim. His father was there. He was a school teacher there and was a prominent man.
Was he also in politics?
I think so. Yeah. My grandfather was a singer, and he had people singing with him, and he played a violin, give them the tune, you know, and they would sing for the king and for everybody around there. And well, my father was a good singer too.
What work did your father do?
My father, he was a farmer in Iowa before we came out here. And then when we came out here, he worked for a farmer.
In Denmark, do you know what kind of work he did?
Well, he was so young when he came over here. He was only 20 years old. So...
Did he go back to Denmark?
No, he never did.
Would you tell me about the education you had? In Denmark?
Well, just went to school. That's about all. I didn't go to high school or anything like that. When you were through the eighth grade or whatever it was, well, you went out to work.
Were you confirmed in Denmark?
Yes, I was.
How old were you then?
I was 14.
And what caused you to come to the United States?
My father got married over here. He married a woman, had three boys. And it was her. She wrote to me and she wanted me to come over here. So one of her boys came back after me. And I was just about 16 when we came over here.
May we have the name of your stepmother?
Christina Peterson Sand, I guess you would call it.
And what were the names of the three boys?
There was Anton and Peter and Søren.
And she was Danish?
She was Danish.
And did she speak Danish?
Oh, yes, that's about all she could speak.
What about your dad? Did your father know English?
Oh, yes, he could speak just as good as anybody.
Did he know English before he came to
No.
the United States?
No.
How did he learn?
Well, how do you learn? How did I learn? I never went to school in this country. You learn it when you hear it all the time.
And you heard it, learned it by hearing it.
That's it.
You didn't go to school or anything here to learn it.
No. Joyce was married. And she was very good to teach me. Teach the American. She could pronounce it real good. She was really the one that really taught me the language, to speak it right. They lived here in Junction City a few years, but they're both gone now.
Did you have any special experiences because you couldn't speak English in the beginning?
I don't think so. Because where we lived in Iowa, there was Danes.
Where is
all around, in Audubon County.
Were you near a town or a city?
Well, it was, at that time, 10 miles was a long ways, you know, with horse and buggy. But that was the closest town. That was Audubon, Iowa, the biggest city in Audubon County. And there was lots of Danish people there.
Would you tell us about the house you lived in Denmark?
Well, I lived with my mother's folks till I was 5 years old. And then they took me to a home. It was a rich lady that started this home for girls. And I stayed there till I was 14, till I was confirmed.
Do you know the name of that home?
That was, they call it Nuremuspar. It's an old castle. The house belonged to the castle.
I see. And what was the name of the woman who sponsored that home?
Oh, that was Molly Tang. T-A-N-G.
Thank you for spelling it for us.
Yes.
Now, when you lived at that home, did you have duties that you had to perform in the home?
Oh, yes. Sometimes we were six girls at one time, and we each had our job to do.
What job?
Well, like scrubbing floor or clean house, washing dishes, and make our beds and so on.
Did you receive any special instruction at that home that you might not have got at school?
It was
not a religious school.
No, it wasn't. We did have Sunday school. She had Sunday school on Sunday. Mm-hmm. She conducted it herself. She was very religious. And we went to church. We took turns. Couldn't take all of us at one time, mm-hmm. you know. But there was quite a ways to walk to church, you know. But we had to walk.
How far was it, do you think?
Well, I'd say it was what you would call 2 or 3 miles here.
And you walked all the way to church?
Oh, yes, to school.
And was the school in about that far away?
Yeah, it was right there by the church.
And
when you found out that you were going to be going to America, did you have any idea of what America was like? Had you heard very much about America?
Not too much, only what my father would write to me and what I was reading. Of course, when I found out I was going to America, I got papers so I could read up on it, you know, find out a little bit about it, you know.
Well, then when you came here, what surprised you the most, or was there any surprise?
No, not that I can remember. I was more surprised when I came out here,
uh-huh.
when we came out here in 1904.
The change was great.
Such a change from Iowa to Oregon, you know. There was such a change, you know, in the climate and everything. When we came in February, the apples were hanging on the trees, you know. And you don't see that in Iowa.
What port did you leave from in Denmark?
On the west coast, you know, Holstebro.
Yes.
Well, that was the closest big town. And Vemb and Ulborg, that's where the church was. Mm-hmm. And they were the biggest towns, if you call them towns. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many people there.
Would you tell us about your trip over? Where did you go? What did you experience?
Well, the boat I came over, the same boat that my father went on when he came over, before I was born. Mm-hmm. See?
Do you know the name of the boat?
Hecla.
Was it a Danish boat?
I guess it must have been. Because we came out from Denmark and we'd go up into the Oslo Fjord and pick up passengers there. And then we'd come around, you know how Denmark is, down through the channel.
English Channel.
And stopped at Southampton and took off some more, or took on some more passengers. And then we passed the Azores, you know, the islands, and stopped there and picked up more passengers. And took 17 days before we got to New York. 17 days.
Now, all these people you picked up, were they immigrants or immigrating to the
United States? I guess they were. But I know we stopped those places, that's all.
How did you get food on the ship?
Oh, they brought it down in great big buckets, you know. And when we came to the boat, we each got a kind of a little bucket and a tin cup and a plate and knife and fork and spoon and a blanket. That's what we all got. And then we got a place where we had to sleep down the hole. The women one place, the men another place, you know. And then at dinner time, there was long tables, you know, and there was a box on one end. There was salt and pepper. We could help yourself, you know, with your fingers. And that's where we sat to eat. And to wash our dishes, there was a faucet there and a barrel. And that's where we washed our dishes.
What kind of food did you get?
It was good food. I wasn't too well used to good food, you know. We were poor.
Was it mostly stews?
No, it was just, well, there was a lot of stew, but it was a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. And what about bread?
Yeah, that was good bread. They made it right there. There's a bakery right there. Yeah.
What were the sleeping accommodations like?
Well, we were. There were six in each little cabin, whatever you'd call it. And I got the one on top. That's why I wanted. I didn't want to down below because I'm was sick. And you know, that happened, you know.
You were a pretty smart person.
So, and there was a, we called it a cowai, you know, porthole. And sometimes they would open that porthole when it was real nice weather. Else, of course, at night it was closed because sometimes the water would swish up around it, you know.
And that fresh air must have smelled good.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Did you get to go up on deck?
Oh, yes, I was up on deck every day. And I'd come up there and the ocean would meet me. That happened. I got wet. I had to go change for clothes.
17 days.
Did
you get a chance to wash your clothes on the ship?
No. Gosh, no.
What kind of things did you bring with you?
Well, just my regular clothes, I guess.
Did you bring anything else?
I didn't have anything to bring.
Ah.
I didn't have anything but what I needed, my clothes.
A song book or a Bible?
I brought a song book, yeah, and I still have it.
You have?
Yeah.
Was that a special song book?
That's the high schooler book, high schooler song book. I think my grandfather gave it to me.
Oh, how lovely. And you still have it?
I still have it. I'll show it to you when we get done. Yeah.
What port did you land? You landed at New York?
At New York.
Was it Ellis Island?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us about
Ellis
Island?
Oh, yes. They just herded us like cattle. There was a rope. We had to hang on to that rope. And we had to... Did we carry our suitcases? I think we did, because, I got so tired. When I had a chance, I'd sit down on my suitcase. And then they'd look at your eyes, and they would, certain things they had to look at. And there were some that had some disease, and there were some other places they didn't get to go on the train. But I made it, got on the train.
Where did you go first in the United States after New York?
Oh, to Iowa, to Audubon, or a little town named Gray. That's where, closest to where my folks lived. They were on a rented farm.
Now your stepbrother was with you.
Yeah, he was with me on the way, and that helped me a lot because he was an American citizen. So.
Did you become an American citizen?
Oh, yes. I did when I got married, and he was an American citizen. That's how I got to be an American citizen. You can't do that now.
No, that's right. That's right. You got to do it on your own.
No.
What was the farm home in Iowa like?
Oh, I guess it's about like any other. He had, you know, a little bit cows and chickens and horses, of course, and you had a mule, and oh boy, that mule.
Would you describe the kitchen in the farmhouse there?
Well, because the kitchen, that was the dining room too, of course. And I can't remember just what kind of a stove she had, but because it's an old old-timer, of course. But they had a comfortable home, yeah.
Was there a particular reason why you left Iowa?
Well, Mother was sick. She couldn't stand the hard climate. And then we read in the paper about Oregon, about the beautiful climate, like Denmark climate. This A.C. Nielsen, maybe you've heard about him before. He was a promoter. And he was advertising in the Danish paper that come to Oregon, it's just like Denmark. There's no sleet showers, and there's no potato bugs. I'll never forget that.
How did you come to Iowa? I mean, come to Oregon then?
On the train. Yeah. Yeah, just trained out.
What about the goods that your family had accumulated in Iowa? What happened to that?
They sold what they had. They didn't have too much. They didn't take anything out here. It wouldn't pay, you know.
Did they auction off the material or just
sell? I can't remember if they did or not. And maybe they just gave it away. I can't remember that. Oh, help take care of the chickens, and I never milked the cows back in Iowa, but didn't have very many anyway. But your duties were to help. Father and Mother wasn't too well, so I had to help her in the house. You know.
Were you the only girl in the house?
Yes. She had three boys, and there was just one home at that time.
Did you belong to a church in Iowa?
No. It was too far to come to a church. There was a German church right close by, but we tried to go there, but you couldn't understand it, so what's the use? So once in a while, we would go down to Audubon to church there, but that was 11 miles, you know, with horse and buggy, you know.
That's
a long ways, and you had to go home and do chores, you know.
The church in Audubon was a Danish church.
Oh, yeah, there were several. There was Audubon, and there was Elkhorn, you know, and Kimmelton, and Exire.
And the services were in Danish?
Yes. Yeah. They were in Danish.
Now, when you came out here to Oregon, did your parents buy a place, or did they rent a place again?
No. They did. They did buy a place. We bought a place out east of town, and they got part of the land we bought out there. And my husband built a house for them. And I don't remember how long they stayed out there.
Well, you mentioned a husband.
Yeah, he died in 66.
Did you meet him in Iowa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he came out the same time we came out. We were married right here.
Oh, you were married?
Yeah,
here.
Junction City.
Yeah. Well, were you then married in a Danish church here? Because we know there were many Danes around here.
Yeah. Well, we were married at home, but we had a Danish minister to marry us.
Did you then have the service in English or in Danish?
No, in Danish. In Danish, yes.
Did you have any kind of a Bryllupsfest, a party? Or
well,
a
we
party?
Had a... Yeah, my friends came out in the evening, kind of a chivalry, you call it, you know. Well, and they had, of course, coffee and cake, naturally.
Now, your husband was Danish, too?
Yeah.
Was he born in Denmark?
Yeah, he was born in Denmark.
Do you know where?
Up by Aalborg, one little island in Limfjord.
Aha, yes.
Girl. That's the name. You've heard of it.
That's a strange name, isn't it? Yes.
Well, he was from the same place where my stepmother was from.
I see.
So that's how he came to our place.
Do you know how old he was when he came to this country?
What, 18 years?
About 18 years.
And do you know why he came to this country?
Oh, I don't know. He was a carpenter, and he had just made his masterpiece, they call it, you know. And he was a big guy, you know. And he was a carpenter, and he was a good carpenter, too.
And we haven't gotten his name then on the table.
Mats Peter Jensen.
Do you tell us about the development of the church here in Junction City?
Well, the first minister they had was 1902. His name was Milan, and they didn't have a church. They had the hall, and they used that for church and meetings and everything, you know. It was up on Ivy Street. And then 1909, they built a church there. My husband built a church.
He built the church.
Oh, he built. You can go up and down any street in Junction City and you'll find a house, one or more houses he built. For 50 years he built houses around here.
Can you tell us a little bit about that church? Who were the people in it? And just sort of reminisce a little bit about the early life of the church. Did you have a ladies' aid?
Oh, yeah, not in the church. We had that. Oh, we have a ladies' aid. Oh, yes. And we met in the hall. Mm-hmm. Sometime, other times, you meet in the homes. Mm-hmm. But the ladies' aid, we're all getting old, you know. So now, of course, there's the younger group. It's a little different. The LCW, they call it. And, of course, they do their duty, too, and help the church and so on. And we've had, I don't know how many ministers we've had. That's several.
Was your husband ever involved in any kind of political activity?
No, not very much. He was on the city council for several years.
Was
six years, I think. Oh, yes, when we lived out north of town. He was on the school board.
And was he on the church council?
Yes, he was on the church council, too. He was secretary.
And how about you? Did you get involved in any of these activities?
No. I was too busy raising my family.
Well, right now, would you tell us about your family?
Well, we had six. There's part of them up there.
Would you give us the names of each of your children?
My oldest son is Christian, and then Theodore, and then there was Herman. He is gone. He's the picture there. And, Lily, I forgot Lily. She died when she was 4 years old. And then Frieda. And then Marion. He's the baby. Christian, the children, they're pretty close. Theodore, he lives up by Portland up. Because Marion, he works for the railroad, you know. So sometimes he's far away, and sometimes he's here.
But most of them live so you get to see them, those who
are not. Yes. And my daughter lives in California, San Francisco. And they come up 2 or 3 times a year.
Uh-huh. Have you ever gone back to Denmark?
Yeah, I've been back twice. My husband and I went back in 47, and then I went back in 68.
What changes had you noticed between the time?
Lots and lots of changes.
What was the thing that surprised you the most?
Hard to say. Because the way they live now, it's different from when I was a young girl. I guess you know that.
It's a little bit easier.
It's a little different here, too, you know. So I don't know if there's too much different in the living as it is here.
How did you go back to Denmark? Did you fly?
Last time I flew.
And what about the earlier time?
No, we sailed. Mm-hmm.
You remember what the name of that boat was?
I was just trying to. That Polish ship.
Batory,
yeah. That's right. Batory. Yeah.
My father has sailed on. That's how I know the name. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Batory. That's the one we sailed on.
How long did that trip take then? How long were you on the water?
About 10 days, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
They had speeded up a little bit.
Yeah. Because they stopped in at England, you know.
And the accommodations were somewhat better, too.
Oh, yes. Yes. A little bit different, yeah. That's right. The food you sat at the table was served, you know, and so on.
And then the last time you flew on a plane?
I flew from Seattle.
All the way to Copenhagen.
All the way, and I started at 5 o'clock in the evening. And the sun was shining through my window, and it shined in through the window all the way back to Denmark.
To welcome you back.
Yeah, all the way. I couldn't get over it.
Did you meet any of your Danish relatives when you were in Denmark?
Oh, yes, that's what I went for. Tried to visit some of them. I got so many cousins, and I don't know half of them, you know. That San is a big family.
And what did they say about your Danish?
They said it wasn't very good. I thought I spoke pretty good Danish, but they said that somebody that was born here came over and learned the Danish, could speak better Danish than I could. That's what they said. They learned the Danish. We get over here and we learn the American and we mix it up more. That's what they, I didn't know it, but that's what they told me.
Now, you must have some grandchildren.
Oh, yes. How many? I've got 13 grandchildren.
And any?
I got eight grandchildren, and 13 great grandchildren, and one great great grandson.
May we have your great great grandson's name?
And his name is Joshua. Can you imagine?
What's his last name?
What is his name?
What was the name again?
Joshua Gaskill.
How old is Joshua now?
He's just a year old. He will be this month. Just shooting.
Do you, is there anything within your home that you do that says, I'm Danish, in either the way you speak or the way you keep house or cooking or maybe special days?
I don't think so. Esther, maybe you would notice it more than I do.
Clock coffee and 3 o'clock coffee.
Yeah.
And coffee for morning, noon, and
right. Well, here's a little vase that she has that was given to her grandfather in appreciation of the 50 years of teaching that he'd done there in Denmark. He was not just a teacher, but also wrote many songs. But he never signed the song, never put his name on a single one of them. We don't know any of the songs that he wrote because we can't find them that way.
Would you repeat his name?
Christian Sand.
The vase is crystal. It's about 3 inches high. It has a little bulb base and is of most delightful design.
At the school where she was, Hans Christian Andersen visited there one summer, and according to Mother, Molly, Aunt Molly as she was called, and him practically fell in love. They thought for a while that they were would get married, but he had to leave and something else come up, so that nothing really came of that.
That was when she was young.
Yes.
Her father, he had 5 girls, and he invited Hans Christian Andersen to stay a winter there on the estate there, where he could roam the garden and do whatever he wanted to. And they fell in love. But he is a poor boy, and she was a rich man's girl, so that would never do. So that was all that came out of that. But she did have all his book, every book he ever wrote, and she would read it for us, so we knew him by heart.
And on Dad, he started carpenter work here in Junction City, and he's built many homes and business, farmhouses, barns. And there's one thing that we've always regretted, that while he was here, we didn't go out with him with a notebook and mark down the different places that he had built. That had been something for us kids to have had and passed on, but it's hard now to get them. We can get some, but we haven't even tried it.
Would you give us a characterization of your father? What kind of a man? To a son.
Well, he was just. I'll say that for him. We worked at home, but like when we was on the farm there in the 30s, late 20s, 30s, he'd pay us our wages for working on the farm. I know I got $40 a month while I was working. And, of course, our room and board. But we done all the farming. We had 117 acres. The different crops and the farm. We and cows. We was milking around 20 head of cows. And it was sometimes tough going, but we done the work. But we couldn't appreciate that. We had to leave. I left when I was 20.
What did being Danish mean to you then, and what does it mean now?
Well, I don't think we thought too much about it at that time. Now, it's something that it's a a heritage that I'm proud of. You think back that it's a small country, but it's been in itself for many years, and still in itself, really. And the people that come over here and started these different communities, there were certain standards that they brought with them and carried right on through.
Do any of you people speak Danish here?
Well, we can speak it. It's hard because we haven't used it for so long. But as far as understanding it, we can understand it all right and read it. Mother had cards here from Denmark, birthday cards, and we can read them all right. Some of them is, it all depends on the script. Mm-hmm. Some of the old script is still hard, although that's the script we learned to read when we was learning Danish. Or
you spoke Danish then as a child?
Oh, yes, that's all we could speak. We had to learn to speak English when we went to school.
Did you have any particular experiences because you were not English speaking when you went to school?
Not really, except because there was so many Danes that we could just go with them. But there's many a fight here, Danes against the whites. And then in sports, many times, football games, baseball games, it'd be the Danes against the whites.
I understand there was a banner over the main street one time with that listed.
Yes. We had the one thing, probably what you had in mind, was a tug-of-war, the Danes against the whites. That was a 4th of July celebration, I believe, if I remember it. I think so, Mom.
No, that was
Bartkus
and the
Gripskus. But there was... It was about 50-50, I'd say, in Danes and whites.
And now, go ahead. Do you belong to any Danish organizations?
Yes.
You or your brothers or sisters?
The Danish Brotherhood. Grandfather Sam was a charter member. Dad is a charter member. And then I come along and joined. My son has joined. And his two sons belong. So we have five generations there.
And you take an active interest.
Oh, yes. I'm past president. I think the oldest living past president in this particular lodge here in Junction City now.
I asked your mother, but I want to ask you now, have you involved yourself in any political union or community activities other than a Danish club?
Well, up where we live, I've been on the church council for 12 years. But politics, no. Union affairs, yes. I've been past president of my club, or my union, secretary and treasurer of the union. Worked on the different committees when I was working. I'm retired now.
And what are you retired from?
I was millwright in a plywood mill.
Then in a way, your profession, your work, your career came out of your dad's carpentry.
Well, more or less. When I left home, I went to work for the railroad on a steel bridge gang. I worked about 10 years on that, different things, and then I ended up in a pole treating plant, where we would frame our poles or bridges, lumber, and all of it before it was treated. And then they sold out and shut down, and I went to the plywood mill, and I retired from there as a millwright.
Come over and tell me about the two Danish flags you have here on the wall.
Aunt Molly, the lady that had the home, she made them. They're all made by hand. She made every bit of it and sent them to us when we were married 72 years ago.
And what does it say on
it? It says, God bless this home and God bless Denmark. That's what it means. But she made every bit of it herself.
72 years.
72. It will be the 26th of June.
I am wondering in this room if any of the boys or the sons or daughters served in the armed forces.
Yes, I'm Marion. I served in the Army. I went in 1941 until the latter part of 1945. Was in the Pacific Theater.
What branch and what job did you have?
Well, I was in the Coast Artillery. I was in the Communications Department.
And what work have you done since then?
Well, I've a little bit of everything, but mostly on the railroad, bridge gang, and now I'm a bridge inspector.
I understand you were at Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
When it was hit?
Yes. Something, but I didn't know. No, I say I saw it happening, but I didn't know what was happening.